Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, YouTube. Except YouTube didn't make it. Let's try them again. Good morning to all y'all. Those of you that are around the world in Blog Talk Radio, and you're in them, are in those countries where you're feeling the severe effect of the war in Israel against Hamas and Hezbollah. We speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it to be with you today, wherever you may be around the world, wherever that is. We declare the blessing of the Lord in your life. May you use great wisdom and always be safe. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that he who is faithful to the end will receive the crown of life. And we give God glory. Now we got YouTube with us.
Yeah.
Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us today. In the future, we would truly receive and expect you to function properly every time we click on you. Mm-hmm.211 followers on YouTube today, and we're not private, we're public, so welcome everybody. Good to have you with us today. I want to start out by praying for Israel. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus right now, we put our faith and agreement with our brothers and sisters in Israel, because this is a real war. This is real. And this isn't just a little skirmish here and there. No, this is war. They've been attacked, and they're going to respond. So I'm going to read from the Word of God, God's response. Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. You ever notice that Israel's not trying, is not out around the world trying to disciple everybody and make them like them? You know? They're just glad to be them.
They got their own stuff.
We got our own stuff. This is our nation. We're glad to be us. If y'all want to come and be us, then be us. I think it's awesome. Four. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. What does it sound like when God laughs? The Lord shall hold them in derision. Hold these enemies in derision, Father. Hold them in derision. He will speak of them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me. I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of your earth, of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, O judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him, in the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read Psalm 3, too. This is for Israel. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. This was David writing it. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. I love it. Selah. David's like, you guys don't know. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I speak this over those in Israel. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon in Jesus' mighty name. Bless your people, Israel, Father. Bless your people, Israel. Bless Netanyahu with the greatest of courage.
Yes.
Bless the America and these 13 nations of the world that are standing with Israel. Bless them abundantly. Father, I don't know how to say it, but may all these nations that have allowed these people to come, these wicked terrorists to come in their nation, may all of a sudden they realize, like Francis realized, no, these riots got to be shut down, and no, you can't do it. And may they give them a one-way ticket out of the nation. We, the American people, command you, if you're for Hamas and Hezbollah, get a one-way ticket and leave our nation today. We command you. We're the patriots here. This is our land, and we don't accept you, and we command you to leave in Jesus' name. Either be us and be Americans and love our Constitution, or be gone. Be destroyed by Almighty God because of his wrath is against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this now. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I have about 5 videos from Amir that I want to share with you, but that will have to be at a different point. That's not right now. Because I would like to share them because they're wonderful. But this message today is going to be such an encouraging message to every one of you. Now, I have a message all prepared. But every Sunday morning, I listen to Dr. Winston. And then he comes on at 7 in the morning. And then I listen to Dr. Barclay because he comes on at 9 in the morning. That's what we do. That's our normal Sunday morning routine. And we do it with a big cup of coffee.
Several.
Maybe even a pot. But Ray Bench, one of the preachers there from Living Word, Ray's a good friend of mine. I don't talk with him every day and all that, but we kind of grew up together. And Ray gave me a very amazing title early on with Two Straw. He called me Two Straw. It's an interesting story. I would sit behind Ray and say, if you don't get this, I'm going to suck it right through you. I'm going to get anointing in you one way or another, and you will be free. And the same thing with him. You wonderful man of God. But he preached such an amazing message about God and our children. Think about this statement that you and I have made over and over. There's not two Holy Spirits. There's not one on the day of Pentecost and one for the fivefold ministry and one for the others and a little Holy Spirit for children. There's only one Holy Spirit. I want you to receive this message from Brother Ray as if I was teaching it myself. And I know when this message is finished, you're going to want to send this to your loved ones. Send them this link. I will have, you know, this will just have Ray's message in it, or you can send them Dr. Barclay's link. That's up to you, however you want to do it. Dr. Barclay's link has worship and praise in it. I'll probably go in, if you beat me there, then put a timestamp in Dr. Barclay's video of when the message begins. so that people can go right to the message. You're going to enjoy this word about our children. And we'll be back in just a few minutes to finish this program, speak a word of from ourselves about this, and then receive communion together. So, Brother Ray, as soon as you can get ready, you don't have to dance. You don't have to shout. Just try it again. Start the broadcast. There we go. That is as good as volume as I can get.
And let's pray, everybody. Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your holy presence this morning. Bless every person that helped give this morning, Lord, some out of their abundance, their much, some probably out of their not so much, their struggle. And Lord Jesus, whatever it was, they put you first. Thank you for good leadership who teaches us how to hear your voice and to follow through. Lord, we lift up every person in this house, every family, that you'll bless them, that you'll walk with them, that while they're here in your place, you'll go home to their place and begin to do what no man can do. We give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Would you give the Lord a good hand clap? Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 23, verse 16. I want to get right into the scriptures. Amen. If you don't know who I am, my name's Ray Bench. I'm one of the ministers here at the church and glad to be part of what God is doing here through Living Word. Amen. Isn't it good to be a Christian this morning?
Amen.
Acts chapter 23, and we'll pick it up here at school verse 11, Acts chapter 23. While you're looking it up, I'll kind of talk for just a little bit. You know, each year in June, I do a conference on that pastor. I don't do, but I preach. I'm part of the preaching team at a church that Pastor Chuck Eveline has down in Clarksville, Indiana. And I'll do Sunday morning, and then he has a list of different speakers that comes in. But after I get done Sunday morning, the pastor will come in, and he'll do Sunday night and then Monday night. And then he takes off for his next meeting, or he flies home here to be with all of us and to be out there doing construction. Or the man never literally stops. Amen. Literally never stops. Amen. And so I preached Sunday morning. Pastor came in, he did Sunday night, and then Monday night he preached. It was incredible. And afterwards there's a fellowship. And so I took off and headed back to my hotel. And of course they load the plane and they get ready. I had to make a stop at a Walmart because I'm a highfalutin guy like that. And had to pick up a couple of things for my room. And I'm walking out in the parking lot. And you could hear, and it's the jet motor, because it's a small little airport. Clarksville isn't that big. And you could hear that jet motor. I don't know where I was, probably a half mile away from the airport, maybe a mile. And I thought to myself, you know, that's got to be pastor's jet. There's nothing else sounds like that taking off. And I'm standing out there in the parking lot of Walmart with my grocery bags in my hand. And I look, and that plane takes off. And I mean, it's cooking at about 250 miles an hour. And it gets up to about 800 feet, and it banks to the left, and it heads north, and it heads up here to Midland. And I stood there as many times as I've been at the airport when he's taken off. I just never saw it. You know what I mean? I was never at the other end of the runway when that happened. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, that's my son. My son's that pilot.
Wow.
And I just stood there. I don't know if other parents do this, but I stood there and just thanked God. And all I could do is say, you know, Lord, I had no idea what you were doing. all the time that kid was growing up. I didn't see it. I didn't know. I didn't realize that while I was working, you were working. Amen. I want to talk to you today about God and your children. That's the title of my message, God and your children. Not because we have everything so good. My kids aren't perfect. Look who their father is. They're stuck. Amen. They're not going to be. However, my point is look what God did despite who I am and all of my impurities. Don't list them. I got way more on me I don't like than you got on me that I don't like. Amen. Trust me, you're not as good a critic as I am. I'm with me all the time. But here in Acts chapter 23, it says this in verse 11. It says, and the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, this is God standing by Paul, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that we will neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. Now, I don't know about your fasting rules, but that's never been one I've read about in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I'm going to fast until I kill somebody. Lord have mercy. I'm hungrier than that. Amen. Verse 13 says, now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great oath, yeah, whatever, that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you therefore go together to the council, suggest to the commander he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near. So that's the plot. Get him out of prison. Tell him you want to bring him out here in public and question him. And on his way, we're going to do him in. Look at verse 16. So when Paul's sister's son had heard of their ambush,
yeah,
he went and entered the barracks and he told Paul. Then Paul called to one of the centurions and said to him, take this young man. I think King James says, take this lad. Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. The story goes on, and it shares with us that through the information of this young man, Paul's life was spared. Isn't it something that God used a child to spare the prophet's life or the apostle's life? I always like to say, I wonder how many books of the New Testament were written after this time. How many churches were saved because a young man got drugged to church, we might say, by his mother, there not knowing God would use him in a great way to help the church for eternity. You never know what God is going to do with your children. You'll never know as you bring them to church, you open the scriptures, you take them and you share with them in the way as you go, coming and going, what God is instilling and what he'll use those kids to do. This lady, I don't think, had any clue that I don't know about your, I would imagine to this child, Paul's a strange uncle. Mom, where are we going? We're going to see your weird uncle. He's been in prison again. But when he got there, the Bible doesn't specify how old he is. Perhaps they spoke in front of him thinking he's too young. What does he matter?
Right.
Maybe he heard it echo through the walls. Those stone chambers. But either way, God used the young boy to spare the apostle's life.
Yeah.
And nobody saw it coming but God Almighty.
Wow.
Ask yourself, what is God doing through your children that you're not aware of?
Doing through my kids.
What is God speaking to them already? Say, well, Brother Ray, my kids are young. Exactly. Exactly. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desired to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, or we would say the sincere Christianity that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded it is also in you. You know what Paul's saying? You didn't learn that at the church. Your parents taught you that. He's recognizing, I as an apostle, I'm not the one who instilled that in you. You had that part of it already when I met you. You know, there's a part for the church to teach your children. There's a part for you to teach your children. The church can't do your part, and you probably can't do the church's part. I love what pastor says, we don't need to have church at home. Amen. Home is for home, church is for church. But the Bible still tells us in Deuteronomy to speak with your children as you walk in the way, when you sit down, when you rise up. Write it on the doorpost of your home. Then it goes on and says, write it on the doorpost of your gates.
Yeah.
That's your garage door.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And these verses are talking about that his mother, his grandmother, didn't realize what God Almighty would do with that young man when he grew up. They didn't know that he would become the right-hand man to the man who would write two-thirds of the New Testament. That he would literally help the new covenant be described and be such an encouragement to the apostle. He was just a child when they began to teach him.
Man, that's powerful, right?
Nobody probably thought too much of Timothy. They just kept going. You know, Acts chapter 2, we won't look at all of these verses. I've got so many when I started getting into this. Acts chapter 2, 17, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men shall see visions.
Yeah.
Young people. Say young.
Yeah.
Thank God we're building a youth building. Thank God for Invasion.
Yeah.
Thank God that we're investing in our children.
Yeah.
I go to church after church that they have no people in their children's church. They've shut it down. God forbid. And here the scriptures are saying God is, if you're waiting for your children to grow up to pour into them, I want you to know God is not. I don't see Brother Greg Pelletier here this morning. I'll kind of tell his testimony, but Greg was always a good drummer growing up, and his friends were in the bars and playing in rock and roll bands, and they liked him so well at what he did that because he was too young to get into the bar, they'd sneak him in the back door so he could play the drums. I thought, well, the world isn't waiting for him to grow up.
That's right. That's right.
Why are we? What shouldn't we pour into our children? Amen. Think about David that God sent. Say God. David didn't come to a youth meeting. The prophet came to David. God sent Samuel to young King David, and he prophesied over him, even when his brothers and his family didn't believe in him. And God made sure that he got called into the kingship and the ministry. Who better to bring King David in by way of prophecy than Samuel, who had been a little boy in the temple, when God said, Samuel, Samuel, and he didn't even know the voice of God, and he went to go find Eli.
Yeah, amen.
But Samuel knew that God would speak to a child. He knew that God would talk to you when you were young and you didn't understand what was going on yet. He knew there would be a learning curve. Who better to walk David through all of those years than Samuel? You know, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. You know, I get preaching, and I don't know about the other brothers and such that preach. You know, I like to tell my testimony and my families, and then I sometimes get a lecture after I've used certain people in certain sermons, and here we go. But you know, I always think of Janine's story. If you don't know Janine's testimony, just in general and in brief, and I'll leave out some details, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to tell her story. You know, Janine's father she's from South Africa, Cape Town specifically, but her father was in South Africa one day as a young man, and a group of people came from the United States, actually the Mid-American Conference, Central Michigan and such. And they brought a group of track runners over to South Africa to kind of tour around to promote sports. And they put an announcement out, Americans are coming. If you want to run against them in track, you can come. And so her father showed up, and he beat all of the Mid-American Conference All-Stars. And then they went to another's place, and he drove over there, and he beat them all again. So they didn't like that, so they said, you know, look, we can give you a scholarship. If you'll come to America, you can get an American education. We'll get you an American degree. So he came. He did real well. He held two national records, a couple local records, and he was really, really good. But he married an American, and actually Janine was born in Flint, Michigan, because her mother was pregnant, and they didn't want her on the boat. You know, back then you had to take the boat. You couldn't take an airplane. So they'd have to take the boat, and they didn't want her on the boat pregnant, so they waited. Janine was actually born in Flint, and then when she was a month old, they moved back to South Africa. At about 6 years old, her mother got to where she couldn't take the change, and she abandoned the family, and she came home. That left Janine with no mom. 6 years old, she's walking down the hallway of her house. Her father's in his office, weeping because he's lost his wife. And that night, she'll tell the story. She went into her bedroom, and she closed the door behind her. And she said, God, I don't have a mom now. You'll have to take care of me.
Come on.
I don't have anybody.
Come on.
Over the course of time, she began to find her way to an Anglican church, and the pastor there was a good man, wasn't spirit-filled, but he loved the Bible, he taught the Bible, they lived for God. And in that atmosphere, she would encourage the other people to pray. Pray for her father, pray for her new mother that came, and for salvation. One night, were you maybe 12 when your dad got saved? One night, her father's driving home from work, and this thought comes to him, you need to go to Janine's church. He said, no, Lord, there's no, you know what I mean? And we would say, Lord, he just, in his mind, he just said, no, there's no activity tonight. Janine's not there. There's nothing happening. So he continued to drive. Thought comes back a second time. You need to go now to the church. And he began to say, why would I have that thought? And he's driving along, and he came to the road where you either turn to the right and go to the church, or you keep going and you straight go home. He will tell you to this day, something grabbed that steering wheel and turned it to the right. He shows up to the church, and there sitting on the front step is the pastor of that church. And he looks at him, and he says, Pastor, he says, what are you doing here tonight? He said, I'm here waiting for you.
Wow.
And he took him into the sanctuary, and for the first time in his life, he met Jesus Christ because a 12-year-old girl.
Because a 12-year-old girl.
And the God in heaven weren't waiting for one day for her to do something great. He was already beginning to be in motion because God hears the prayer of every child. There aren't two Holy Spirits, one for the adults and another one for kids' church. There's only one.
Amen.
There's only one.
Only one.
Here in Matthew chapter 21, says this in verse 12. It says, and when Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children, say the children.
Children.
Who was crying out?
The children.
Who was singing Hosanna?
The children.
The children. The Holy Spirit didn't just touch the adults.
Come on.
And when they saw the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. How can you not? Have you never read out of the mouths of who? And nursing infants.
And nursing infants.
You have perfected praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know who your kid is, but God speaks their language.
Yeah, amen.
He isn't waiting for them to grow up one day to talk to them. I don't think you have kids come up here and prophesy, or you don't have children's church prophets and all that nonsense. All I'm saying is God isn't waiting for your children to grow up one day. He's already beginning to go into motion. Can you say amen? And if you go to the account in Luke 18:15, which we won't for the sake of time, the disciples try to stop mothers from bringing their little infants to the Lord for prayer. And what's he say? He says, stop that.
Stop that.
Cause, suffer them, make them come to me.
Make them
come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. And again, the same word is used called infants. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Verse 41.
Hallelujah.
You know, I tell the stories, I might as well get everybody mad at me. You know, my daughter Kendra. Don't tell me she doesn't know what's coming. She knew it was coming. I told God to tell her.
Yeah.
I didn't have the guts.
Yeah.
You know, Kendra used to come here to church here. Mrs. Lang teach, Craig's wife, Lori, and the others. She would go home. She'd go in, I'd go in her bedroom, and she would take all of her dolls and put them on the bed. And she would teach them the same lesson that she learned in children's church.
Come on. Come on.
Don't you ever think because you're not the pastor, you're not influencing people for Jesus Christ.
Come on, man.
It was just children's church, but God didn't think it was a church. Kendra grew up. I remember one time I shot a deer and I called Nathan. I said, you know, hey, Nathan, Dad got a deer and I'm going to gut it. If you want to come over here, I'll show you how we do it. Because, you know, young boy, and when he came, my daughter Kendra was with him. I said, you know, honey, you need to go home. I'm going to gut this deer. It's going to open all up. She said, I know. That's why I'm here. Well, I didn't know she was going to be a nurse.
Come on.
No one told me. She didn't come with instructions.
Had to pray.
Right? So I'm working on the back, and Kendra's over there poking the eyes and watching what leaks out of it. Well, you are not taking care of me my latter years.
Yeah.
You know, she grew up and she went into nursing school. Tells his testimony. She used to help my wife Janine with the daycare. Most of you know me. We had a daycare in our house for a number of years. And Kendra would, when she homeschooled, she'd do that in the morning. Then when she was done with homeschooling at noon, then she would go and work and help in the daycare. You know, it used to be they say the daycare or the homeschool kids were going to be strange, but I've been looking in the public schools and I think the homeschools are a whole lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't think we're cats.
Amen.
Thank you. And so she, time goes by and she goes into nursing and she works labor and delivery. And she gets pulled off of labor and delivery. And she's working with the children as they come out from having their tonsils removed, tonsillectomy. And so they come out and they're coming out from underneath the anesthesia and they're waiting for the parents to come back in. And so they give them a little thing of ice cream, which of course that's a good way to come out from under surgery.
Yes, amen.
And all of that's going on, and they have a little monitor there, a little TV, and the kids can watch little cartoon things and whatnot. So this first little boy comes, and he's coming out from underneath the anesthetic, and she says, what would you like to watch? And she tells him the list, and she says, how about Bob the Builder? Bob the Builder, yes, we can. Oh, that'd be great. And so she kicks it on. Another little kid comes out. How about Thomas the Train? Choo, choo. He comes out, oh, that'd be great, and he's giggling, and he's eating the ice cream, and another little kid, and she looks over, and there's a mother sitting in the corner. She says, how many children do you have? It started in the daycare.
Started in the daycare.
Working with her mother.
Come on.
Watching Lori Lang teaching children's church and the others. But we didn't know what God, say God.
God.
What God was going to do with her. It isn't just my children. I look at Wade. Wade's a phenomenal accountant. He's so humble, you don't really necessarily understand. But if you got numbers, Wade can crunch them. I'm sure Robin and Kim were the same way. Not too sure knowing what he would become one day. And then you look at what God, say God.
God.
The beauty of what God was doing.
What God was doing. Amen.
In this verse, where I probably won't read it all, here in Luke chapter 2 is the story of when Jesus was in the temple at 12 years old, and he begins to talk to the Pharisees and the scribes and whatnot and answer questions. But I'd like you to notice that his earthly ministry won't start for 20 more years.
Right.
God isn't waiting.
God is not waiting.
He's already teaching. He's already talking. Jesus himself is in on it. The Holy Spirit is teaching, and God the Father, they are already helping this young man, if I can say it that way, become who he's called to be in God. Yes, he's 100% God, and he's 100% man. How that works, to tell you the truth, I don't understand. But he already is being taught these scriptures. He knows these verses. He's ahead of his time. God isn't waiting until he's 30. 18. Already his understanding in the spirit realm is beginning to become developed.
Yes.
You'll never know what God is doing while you're going about your daily life as you just start to open the verses and begin to talk.
Yes, yes, yes.
I took
yes.
one of my grandkids out for dinner one time or for a lunch, and I'm big on the Foundation Truths of Pentecostal Theology book. There are seven divine attributes they call of God, or absolute attributes of God. And I just took the first three that I enjoy. I call them the three omnis. God's omniscient, God's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. And I just read verses to my one little granddaughter. And, you know, you would think kids would say, that bores me, or grandpa, that's for you. When I got done, she said, Papa, can I have that paper?
Come on. Come on.
I had them all written out, and I was reading to
her. Come on.
She kept that. She listens to my CDs. God isn't waiting till one day. God is already in motion. God is in motion with all of our children. If he's in motion, shouldn't we be?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be involved in our kids and know what's going on in their lives? Can you say amen?
Amen.
I brought a video with me this morning. It me. It's about Jesus standing before the Pharisees that day. Anytime you do a reenactment like that, you're going to have to fill in some blanks because the scriptures doesn't tell us or don't tell us every question that was asked, correct? So to do this, they kind of take some liberties that I wouldn't have taken. But if you give me just a minute, I'll ask the TV crew or the media department to play that. It blessed me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Make it loud, guys, so everybody can hear.
Who is this? Jesus Bar-Joseph. He's my son. Look at me, Jesus Bar-Joseph. Why did the Phoenicians cut the hair of Samson?
Forgive me, Rabbi. It was not for Phoenicians. It was the Philistines. And they cut his hair to make him weep.
Where is Elisha, who was taken up in the chariot?
It was Elisha who was taken up. Elisha is with the Lord.
Who resides in the Garden of Eden?
No one. There is no one in Eden.
There is no one in Eden writing this and all the deeds of the world down?
Men say it is Enoch, but Eden is empty. Until the Lord says all the world will be Eden again.
Why did the Lord break his covenant with King David?
The Lord does not break his covenant. The throne is there.
Where is the king?
He will come, and his house will last forever.
Will the carpenter build it?
Yes. There's always a carpenter. Even the Lord himself is a carpenter sometimes.
How is the Lord a carpenter? Tell me.
Isn't the Lord himself tell Noah how to build the ark? What kind of wood he is? And how it should be pitched? And wasn't it the Lord who granted a vision of a new temple to Prophet Ezekiel with the dimensions of the galleries, the gates, the altar?
Yes, it was.
When the Lord made the world, only wisdom is there like a master craftsman. If wisdom is not the Lord, what is wisdom? And when Cyrus the Persian decreed that we could return to the Holy Land, the carpenters came home to build the temple, as the Lord said it should be built.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Father, thank you. Thank you for every person in this house. Thank you for every child who comes and goes to the conferences, here at the church. Every last one of them, Lord, is yours.
Yeah.
I thank you that they'll never know the world, the evil that it has, the bitterness.
Thank you, Jesus.
The horror of sin.
Jesus.
Lord, help every person coming and going from this church to know your voice and your visitation.
Yeah.
Help us tonight, or this morning, as parents and grandparents, to sow your word and your holiness into the next generation. Lord, that they might know you, know your voice and your visitation. Bless Pastor Mrs. B, who worked so hard to build,
yeah, thank you,
and to sow and to make grow this
thank
house.
You,
helped us to put an emphasis on the children's wing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Children's church, and made it clean. Put good equipment and good tools in there for the teachers. Lord, it'd be terrible if the legacy of this church was that one time the adults had a great revival and a great move of the Spirit, but their children never knew the voice of God.
In the name of Jesus.
May our children and our children's children know the power of the Almighty.
In
be
the
drunk
name
with the
of
Spirit
Jesus.
At the altars of God. Know the laughter and the joy
in
and the greatness of the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
Bless every person that's in this house. And help us to take charge, take our place, raising our sons and our daughters to be the great army that they are called to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord a good hand clap? Thank you, everybody, for your time.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed that as much as I did. Would have thought that Jesus at 12.
Yeah.
Now, my Josiah is 13. Mike is 11. At 11 years old, he's standing there amongst the rabbis. I like how Ray said that. Father wasn't waiting for Jesus to get to 20. At 12 years old, he had already been trained in the ways of God by Joseph and Mary to the best of their ability. And as he stood there amongst the rabbis, the wisdom of God from the scroll of the book, wherein it is written about him. I don't know that Mary and Joseph had gone to the synagogue and told the rabbi, would you please give us the book of Isaiah? So we can hand it to Jesus and he can understand who he is. We don't have any proof of that. And yet Jesus was standing there in their midst. You ready? How long had Jesus been standing there teaching them? Mary and Joseph had lost Jesus for 3 whole days. Now, like Ray said there, you kind of have to use a little bit of literary license because the Bible doesn't tell us what he was doing for 3 days. But I don't think he was running and playing tag with all the kids for 3 days. He said to his mother, don't you know I must be about my father's business? And when they found him, he was teaching in the synagogue. What child or grandchild do you have that seems to be struggling? Please pay attention to me. Please pay attention. The ones that are struggling the most is the one that has the greatest attack of the enemy against them because of the size and the magnitude of the gift of God that's on the inside of them. Don't give up and say, oh no, they'll never become what God told them that or wants them to be. Do not give up. In the name of Jesus, take them before the throne more, as much as anyone. And speak the name of Jesus, and speak the blood of Jesus, and speak the righteousness of God over their lives. And then demand in the realm of the Spirit, by the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus that you live by, my children's lives will be restored.
Amen.
And God is restoring to them the years that the locust has tried to eat. It doesn't matter how bad the enemy fought. Somebody said to me the other day, I'm on my third wife. I'm like, yeah, you are. He said, well, you think Jesus thinks about that? I said, what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? And the guy just looks at me. He said, go get your husband. I'm like, well, and what did Jesus say to the husbands when they got there? There's no record of it. There's no record of Jesus excoriating the husbands of this woman. The only thing we see is Jesus saying, hey, you found the water of life. Go tell the village. And that lady and those five husbands that she brought went back and won that village to Jesus. Because the next time he came there, the village was open to him. Maybe you're a woman with five husbands. Maybe your man has had five different wives. Listen, maybe you're a man and you've got five kids and five different families. Maybe you're a woman and you got five different kids by five different men. Guess what? In God, even though that's not what you wanted to have happen, guess what God wants to do today? He wants to restore the years the locust has eaten and make absolutely everybody in your family, in your life, in every part about you, he wants them blessed in God. He wants them
Amen.
Blessed in God.
Amen.
Let's go to the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. And Malachi, I think is how
Malachi.
Malachi, I think it's how Amir pronounces it, but it pronounces it. But if you are Italian, Malachi, all right. Look at this verse. Verse 5, Malachi 4:5. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Of course, Elijah already lived. And he didn't die. He was taken up. I love Dr. Winston's statement about that. He's like, guess what, Jezebel? You're dead for 2,000 years. And you said, may the Lord kill you if you don't have Elijah's head and he'll be dead before I eat again. And you died and went to hell and Elijah's in heaven and he's still alive. He's lived 2,500 years, whatever it is. Verse 6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Name your children's names and make it as a declaration. My children will return to their father and their mother, and I will return to my children, love every one of them, care for every one of them, and bring them all into the ways of God. There's a verse of promise for you right there. Joel chapter 2. Go with me there quickly. Some of you are like, Pastor, I messed up really bad. I know. I know, you knucklehead. Quit messing up. That's not God. God doesn't talk that way. God says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give you rest. So you blew it. So you messed it all up. Joel 2:25 through 32. And I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. I don't think it's the heat, love. I think it's the angels, because I'm burning myself. I'm on fire. I will restore the years the locust has eaten. Maybe you didn't have a good childhood. Maybe you didn't have a good marriage. Maybe your children didn't have a good home growing up. But if you'll come through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, Jesus will wipe it all away. And when he restores it as if it never existed, and will make it seem as if what's going on with them and the blessing of God is what has always been in all of their lives. People didn't go around and sing about the Apostle Paul, but you killed Christians for all of his ministry. As soon as they saw signs, wonders, and miracles of Paul, in the matter of probably 2 or 3 months, everybody never even made that statement anymore. They didn't care that he killed Stephen. Why? Because their son, their daughter, their loved one just was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and healed by the hand of Almighty God through the Apostle Paul. God restored the years. God restored the years. Want to say it? God, restore all of the years of my life and my family. In Jesus' mighty name. I say it almost every day. Lord, I want to be what you wrote on the pages of my book when I was conceived and put into my mother's womb. I want every one of those pages to be fulfilled, and I want to see you do it between now and when Jesus comes. And speak it over your children. Restore the years. Speak it over your grandchildren. Restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Look at verse 26. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. No longer say, I'm broke. I can barely make it. This is part of God restoring the years right here. Right here. He said, you're going to eat in plenty. You're going to be satisfied. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God. 27. You shall know. Oh, wait. 26. Praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Maybe you're a child listening today. Say it with me. Restore to my family your design that it was supposed to be. You say it as a child. Bring to us no shame in my family. Look at that verse. My people shall never be put to shame. Can you imagine if you start praying that at 12 years old, 10 years old? My people will never be put to shame. You'll live a whole life and there'll be no shame in it. That ought to make somebody shout hallelujah glory. 27, you will know I am in the midst of Israel, you. I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Somewhere, my pen has escaped me.
It does that a lot.
There should be one right there in that case right there. Open it up. I'm not sure why this verse has not been added in my Bible. But I recommend that you write in your Bible. So get your Bible out. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 61. I'm going to write these verses in here. There it is. It's Isaiah 61, and it's 6 through 8. And I'm going to write that down here at the bottom. Of Joel chapter 2, my people shall never be put to shame. That's verse 27. I wrote Isaiah 61, 6 through 8 right there. So I know where to turn and get this next set of verses. You shall be named the priest of the Lord. That's right, Joel 2. 25 through 27, right here. You shall be named the priest of the Lord. They will call you the servants of our God. You will eat the bread, the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory, you shall boast. Don't miss this next verse. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Lift your hands and just make this declaration. No more shame in my family.
No more shame in my family.
Double honor comes to us now.
Double honor comes to us now.
Instead of confusion.
Instead of confusion.
We rejoice in our portion. People will never be put to shame.
Because God's people will never be put to shame.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Pastor, how many times do I have to pray that? Until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. There's only one time you pray the prayer of salvation to get saved. And then you pray the prayer of salvation many times after that, as other people are being born again. You pray it so that you remind yourself, so you say it again, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. We speak these verses over and over and over and over and over, because you and I have got to live in these verses for them to come to pass in our life. We have an inheritance that's uncorruptible, fades not away. If you'd have heard Dr. Winston in the beginning of his message, it's like he was reading my notes last night, talking about before the foundations of the world. I mean, I'm glad to give him my notes if he wants to call and ask for them, but he didn't even ask. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus set this in motion. You and I are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. You don't have to hope you win. We know we win. We know we're already in the winner's circle and resisting the enemy and making everything come to pass around us. From the place of winning, because my people shall never be put to shame. Who is the child in your life that has had the most warfare? That's probably a child with the greatest gift you've ever seen. Not greatest as in so much better than anybody else, but great in the effect that this child needs your prayers so that gift will come to pass. Go with me to 2 Timothy, and this will probably be our last verse. 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 1. Second Timothy 1. That is not it. First Timothy 1. Guess what happens when you open up the First Timothy and look for Second Timothy? It's not there. All right, well, let no one despise your youth.
Yeah, there we go.
Does anybody know where that verse is? It's time I get it committed to my memory all the way, because this has happened several times when I've come to this verse. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. Not sure why I keep trying to put it in chapter 1. In my mind, it must be that important. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth or your age. Don't let anybody despise you. Be an example of the believers. How? In word, and your conduct, and your love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Paul said that to young Timothy. I say that to you, but I say it to every one of you, not just the young people. Let no one despise you in any part of your life. Let no one despise you. You know who the most important person to stop the despising? There's just some people that just despise us. I don't know why. Usually I think it's because they're jealous. But you know the number one despising voice that every one of us must deal with? Is when we despise ourselves. Because we call ourselves stupid. And we hear other people's words of, oh, come on, you're better than that. Oh, come on, did you just do that again? You're just always that. No. Don't say those words. Don't say those words. Well, Pastor, what do I say? If nothing else, say nothing. You're a human. There's going to be days when you have lots of sleep, and then there's going to be days when you don't get enough sleep. And guess what? On those days, be more careful. That's what happens. But don't despise yourself. Quit saying you're so stupid you've made a mess of your life your whole life. Don't say that another day. How do you know you made the mess? How do you know you weren't trying with everything in you not to make the mess? And the enemy was sending a barrage of ballistic missiles in the spirit to stop you from becoming that man or woman of God that you need to be. Don't despise yourself. Be strong and be who God made you in Jesus' mighty name. What a powerful word today from Brother Ray in Jesus' mighty name. If you send this video on, make sure you go into the notes and or the comments and put right in there when this message starts so people can go right to the message. And what a powerful thought. I don't know if you caught that. I'm gonna make one more reference to it. When he said he killed the deer and asked his son to come help him gut it and butcher it. And when his son showed up, his daughter was with him. Well, most daddies don't want their daughter there when they're butchering a deer. Remember what he said? I had no idea she would be a nurse. And she's a labor and delivery nurse. She had to get used to blood. That's going to happen when a baby's born. What was it? God was preparing them. God was. If you've not done it, Start your notebook with each of your kids' names in it. And begin to ask God to give you verses of scripture about each of your kids. And be a good steward to speak those verses of scripture over them every single day. Always pray, restore the years that the locusts have eaten to my family in Jesus' mighty name. And the next thing you know, you'll be standing somewhere looking at your family saying, wow, look what you have done, Lord. Look what you have done in Jesus' name. Raise your hands. Maybe you've been a bad mom or a bad dad. I lay my hand on you today. And I sever by the name of Jesus, by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus, I sever the destruction of the enemy that has tried to stop you from being who you think and know you. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it will be yours. Wow. There's somebody named Eric here. It doesn't matter what religion has said. This is interesting. It doesn't matter what religion has said. It doesn't matter whether you failed or somebody else failed. God wants to use you and your family to preach the gospel and be a blessing around the world. Ask him to restore the years and then walk with him no matter what he gives you to do. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, let's receive communion together. I might have to have Ray's help more often in preaching because I managed to do it in just 1 hour. So, I'm going to text him. Say, Ray, preach more messages that I can play, all right? Many times a preacher will preach a message that inspires me. And then I'll preach a message in a manner like it. Dr. Winston was preaching this morning, and I didn't get the message he was preaching. I got a completely different message from him. And it was like, isn't that something? How one statement that he made gave me the inspiration. I got a whole message written. I mean, like probably 5 or 6 messages written. Thank God for it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians, turn in your Bible with me. Oh, I keep forgetting. Okay, let me say it differently. I won't forget it again. Turn in your Bible with me. And if you don't have your Bible, let's say you're in a hotel room or something. Reach over there and get the Gideon Bible. Like the one guy said, I stole my first Bible. Who was it that said that? Crank? No, it wasn't Crank. No, somebody said they stole their first Bible. They were ashamed of it, but I stole my first Bible. Great. It's a great man of God, preacher. And he's like, well, you didn't steal it. It was in the hotel. It was placed there by the Gideons. You didn't steal that? Here we go. These are the verses of Scripture. That is not the verses of Scripture. Does anybody know what happened to the verses of Scripture? We'll try this again. There we go. These are the verses of Scripture for the communion service. Now, I know our service is different than many people. But what do we do here? We read the verses, we pray the prayer of salvation, and then we receive the communion elements. Now listen, it's It's what God instructed me to do. If it's not what God instructed another preacher to do, that's fine. It is what he gave me to do. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11:23-31. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, how does it say? He broke it and said, take is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Read along with me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread
and drink
this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's his redemptive work. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John 4:17-18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is,
so
are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear and the torment that comes with it. He who fears has not been made perfect in love, but we have no fear. Now, I want to fix this right here. There. Been wanting to put that in there for a while. Now, what's next? Jesus just laid it out. That's the verses of scripture that we use. To you, that might be, well, Pastor, I don't know about all that. Well, study it. Read it over and over again. Every time we put it up here like this, take a screenshot with your cell phone and then study it. Read it over and over. Next is the prayer of salvation. If you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, now is the time to do it. If you've already prayed the prayer of salvation, pray this again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me, so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And now, welcome to the family of God. You might be saying, what's going on the inside of me? Darkness just turned to life because you said, Jesus, I receive you, and he has given you eternal life. Jesus is the light of the world, so light just came. Fear just turned to faith because he's the author and finisher of faith, and you just received him. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That just happened. You are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. It just happened. Listen, all of that happened in one prayer, couple minutes that had happened. Isn't that just something? Say this with me. I sure do love you, Jesus.
I sure do love you, Jesus.
Because you know how to do a whole lot in a quick hurry. Amen. Take a screenshot of that. You'll have my email address and our website and these great foundation verses in front of you. If you have a question, send it to me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Remember, if you've never sent me an email, you may have to send two or three and then tell me you sent it. Because if it sends you to the spam, I don't always know who's there for good purposes and not. And I don't most generally don't go to spam because there's just so much garbage in there and it's so difficult. But if you keep working, you'll get that email to me and I can answer your question. It'll always be with the Word of God, a video that will teach you about the subject, and we will be a blessing to you. This communion service is right there on SamuelJCottle.com, our website. You can go right there and lead your family in the words to say for communion. And I recommend that you do it daily in Jesus' mighty name. When you get there, click like, subscribe, hit the bell. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Zoom. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. And we're even on Rumble. 250 videos on Rumble. You can find me on Telegram. We're just putting this word out there everywhere we can get it in a simple form. And matter of fact, if you're a techie and you know how with one recording we can put on multiple platforms at one time, then get connected with us, because we want to reach this gospel to as far as we can into the world before Jesus comes. In Jesus' mighty name.
Which could be very soon.
Which could be very soon. Now, with what's happening in Israel, it literally, honestly, this isn't an ecclesiastical exaggeration. This isn't just for preaching purposes. The rapture can happen any day. Like any day. I mean, Russia and Iran are already saying, we're coming for you, Israel. Well, the day they come for Israel, God wipes them out. The only thing I see standing in the way is Damascus is still a city. Jesus said to function like he wasn't coming. But know that he is. Here we go. Let's receive our communion elements. Jesus got me preaching. Here we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today this bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that your body was broken for us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Now, the fruit of the vine. Lift your cup with me. Pray this. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive the fruit of the vine. And we'll sing our song about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And hallelujah. I would encourage you, stand with Israel and pray for them every day.
Amen.
The Bible says the whole world is against them, but that doesn't mean it has to be you. You don't have to stand against them. And so, in Jesus' mighty name, if you've never hooked up to Amir Sarfati, Amir producing great, great news from the Christian perspective. His name is spelled AmirTsar, Amir Sarfati. I would recommend that you find him on Telegram and on Facebook and YouTube and all of that. And it'll be a blessing to you. Until we see you again, that's what we say. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday.
If you're not having a good Sunday, come hang out with us. We got about 8 inches of snow out here. And it's a great Sunday. And we're glad to have you with us. And may God richly bless you today. Little Braden, we're glad to have you with us. Brother Roger, Sister Sunday, you all was with us today. Braden and Roger,
Dan and Gwen.
Dan and Gwen, amen, Sister Sunday. I encourage you, get these verses out and pray them over your children every single day in Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again, which will be tomorrow morning, right here, same time, same station, for our morning prayer, may God richly bless you and bless yours.